God is good. Praise the Lord.
You guys have a good week? Tired? Oh, praise the Lord. Neither. I had a great week this week. Didn't work too many hours this week. Kept it under 100, so that was cool. So that was a good week. It's a good week. You know what I'm saying? That's a good week. Huh? Praise the Lord. So, I kind of excited about today's message, but I'm scared to death. Because I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to make you understand what I'm trying to say. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to let Him do His thing, and I'm just going to try to stand out of the way. Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, we need You so desperately. We are nothing without You. Father, I just ask for Your presence to be here this morning, to be with me, to give me words to speak and ears to hear, Father, can understand what I'm trying to bring across in Your name. I just praise You for that, Father. I thank You for all that You've done this morning, and Father, I just praise You for being in our midst. It's just awesome to praise You in the house of the Lord together as a family. We miss that so desperately. I just praise You for it, Father. Father, be with me. Be with us today. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord! And all God's children said, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to be starting on Isaiah 45 today. If you want to go there, turn to the Old Testament. You guys see what the sermon title was today? Our Sovereign God. That's a big word. Huh? You know what sovereign means? Well, I'm pretty simple. So no, I didn't, so I looked it up. Sovereign is, the word is being above all others. Supreme in character, important, excellence, greatest in degree, utmost or extreme, super, sovereign. That's our sovereign God. And I thought, because right now you have a lot of people asking you questions. You got people asking you questions, why does God allow that to happen? Why does God allow that to happen? What's the matter with them? Everybody ask you that question? I get that occasionally. What's your answer? You guys got a good one for me? No, I don't have any good ones either. But I guess the one thing I want you to understand, God is sovereign. God created. In Genesis chapter 1 it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created. Alright, God created the universe. Not just the earth, the planet. He created it. I was reading, I was seeing there a couple weeks ago, they said, the scientists have found 369 other suns, the same size, dimensional size as the sun we have. Okay, I thought that's pretty cool. They have 5 to 12 times more. You ever see them sunspots? The sun's doing all this stuff. These other 369 suns have 5 to 12 times more going on. They said if that was our sun, we would be toast. We would be toast. It'd be too hot for us to live here. Been out in the sun this week? Oh, baby's doing his business, huh? Yeah, that sun's doing his business. God created that. And they said, there's really no scientific reason why our sun's more tame. And I thought, I got an answer. Huh? We got a God that controls. He spoke us into being. He put this earth in orbit. It's turned just right. There's enough oxygen for you and I to breathe. There's just stuff. There's water. It's stuff. It didn't just happen. That's God. He just said, let there be light. And billions of stuff showed up. Billions! When I was in school several years ago, okay, that's a lie. I was around when dinosaurs were here, okay? That's when I was in school. When I was in school, they said if you took a cup, one cup of sand, and counted all the sand in that, that's how many stars there were. It's a lot. Now they say if you took every grain of sand on every beach in the world, that's how many stars are. They're innumerable. They're uncountable. You can't know, right? That's God. God created. That's our sovereign. He is in control. Isaiah 45. Let's read a little bit here. I want to read some stuff. I want to get to a place. We'll see if we get there. Isaiah 45, we're going to start in verse 5. God's talking here. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no one else. Catch that? He says, I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There's no other God beside me. There isn't anybody but me. Nobody. I will gird and arm you though you've not even known me. God says, you know what? I'm Lord. I'm the only one. I'm God. I'm the only one. I'm it. Huh? Is he boasting? Is he bragging? No, it's the truth. It's all he is. He is it. He reads, that men may know from the east and the rising of the sun, from the west and the setting of the sun, that there is no God besides me. I am the Lord, no one else. Interestingly enough, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am God. I'm Elohim. Remember those two words. They're going to come into play here in a little bit. Verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make... listen to this. I make peace. I make peace, national well-being. And I create calamity. Evil. Calamity. This is God. He says, I make peace or I cause calamity. This is God. I am the Lord who does all these things. What? I thought Satan was that guy. I thought he was chasing me all the time, beating on me all the time. I thought that was Satan, the guy. I think Satan gets more credit than he deserves. I believe he does. We're going to see that today. Let's keep going. Verse 8, let fall and showers, you heavens from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. And the Amplified says this raining down righteousness is the pure, spiritual, heaven-born possibilities that have their foundation in the holy being of God. Let the earth open and let the skies and earth sprout forth salvation. Let righteousness germinate and spring up as plants do together. I, the Lord, have created it. You got it? God created it. Has anybody here created any universes lately? Any sun? Any moon? Created anything lately? Have you just spoke and something happened? Anybody here? No! So where am I going to ask God? He created! Let's keep going. Verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Oh my. Woe to him who strives. Listen to this what he says. A worthless piece of broken pottery among other pieces equally worthless and yet presuming to strive with his master. Shall the clay say to him who fights it, what are you making? What are you doing? What are you doing? Your work has no handles. I'm trying to bring a point here. God created this thing. He created the earth. He created everything you see. He spoke it into being. It happened. And he says, you're going to question me? That's what he's saying here. Are you going to question me? I got no handles. Really? Let's go on. Verse 10. Woe to him who complains against his parents that they have begotten him, who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or a woman, why are you in travail? What are you having me for? Do any babies do that? Verse 11. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and its maker. Would you question me about things to come concerning my children and concerning the work of my hands? Would you command me? I made the earth and created man upon it. I, with my hand, stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all the hosts. Do I question God? What did you do that for? Why did you make me ugly? You ever question him? Huh? Why'd you make me so stupid? Huh? I ain't intelligent like some people. Huh? You ever question God? You are a unique, special purpose that God has designed. And there's something that you got to do here that only you can do. Isn't that cool? Sovereign God. I'm going to read something to you here because I had to write this down because I couldn't remember it all. When you start looking at sovereignty of God, sovereignty of God is what he wants to happen. God wants things to happen, right? He's God, right? He's God. He's got a plan. We know the beginning, we know the end, right? It's the stuff in the middle we're not sure of. We got to walk by what? Faith? Yeah. Just because it looks bad, you ain't look at the news lately? It looks bad. Doesn't it? It looks bad. It's terrible. But I have to think, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. God's going to take me home in a car wreck, or he's going to kill me outright, or I'm going to die dead of a heart attack today. I don't know. But until that day happens, I'm going to have to walk by faith, right? We got a lot of health issues. Getting old is not for the weak, okay? I'm going to throw that out there to you. Getting old is not for the weak, because then you got stuff that happens. Things start to hurt that, what that hurts about? What did I do to that? You know what I'm saying? You get stuff that happens. And then you start to question and think, boy, what am I going to be when I'm 80, or if I make it to 80, or am I going to live till tomorrow? I don't know. You question God. I think your days are numbered. Mine are numbered. But when you look at sovereignty, I think you also have to tie in the word providence. It's a big word Sunday. Big word Sunday. What's providence? I wrote this down. You guys have to look at this. Listen to this. See what it is. Providence references how God controls the spinning wheel of history behind the scenes. One way God achieves His sovereignty is by His providence. The providence of God is the miraculous and mysterious way in which He intersects and interconnects things in order to bring out His sovereignty. So what's providence mean? I didn't know. I looked it up. Providence is from provide, which means to look after, to foresee, to bring about, or to ensure by foresight. God can see down here. God sees tomorrow. I can't see tomorrow. Am I going to be awake tomorrow? I don't know. God sees tomorrow. Isn't that cool? He sees your tomorrow. He's already been at your tomorrow and knows what's going to happen. Isn't that cool? He's talking this morning, that verse of Scripture, God won't give you more than you can handle. I don't know! I don't know! Some days it's like, you know what I mean? Some days it's like, God, you're going to have to pick some of this stuff up. Huh? Wow. So, there are times when God will allow or even cause things to happen that seemingly appear to be contradictions to what He wants. Wow. For God to achieve His ultimate sovereign purpose, He will at times providentially allow things to take place that are outside of His preferences. This is because in His sovereignty, God will allow things He does not prefer in order to accomplish His ultimate plan. A lot of big stuff. That's why I had to write it down. So I'm thinking, man, this is pretty heavy. It is only when you understand the link between providence and sovereignty that you will become conscious of God's fingerprints in the midst of His apparent absence. Wow. You ever feel like God's not there? Come on, God, help, 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 help. And it's like nothing. God, help, you've got to show up today. Nothing. Nothing. It's like, wow, where are you at, God? I don't think He loves me. I don't think He loves me anymore. I don't think He didn't listen to me. He don't listen to anything I say. You know, I look at my life and I don't see God working on anything. Did anybody tell you that? I have. Several times. I've had several people say, I cannot see God doing nothing in my life. Nothing. Nothing. And I look at him and say, I can. I can see Him doing, I can see you changing. I can see God doing stuff in your life. I don't see nothing. I can see it. So are we sometimes blinded that God's there? Last week I told Patsy, I said, you know, sometimes in our life we have to dust for fingerprints to see if God's there. Because He leaves no trace. Huh? He leaves no trace. It's like He's not doing nothing, but He's there. Sometimes we got to dust for fingerprints to see if He's there. Huh? Am I losing you? Wow. This is heavy, huh? This is heavy, huh? So what is this? The sovereignty of God. It's tough. It's big stuff. Let's go. We're in the Old Testament. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I want to read something to you here. Hopefully it can bring this out. We'll see how this goes. There's lots and lots of verses I could look at, but I want to read you just a short section here. I want to go back and break this down for you. I want you to see some stuff. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. The The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, inquire for of Him, and craving Him as your soul's first necessity, He will be found by you. But if you become indifferent and forsake Him, He will forsake you. That sounds kind of tough, doesn't it? We've all heard that before, right? Listen to this. Now for a long time, Israel was without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and in desperation earnestly sought Him, He was found by them. Verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to him who went out or went in, but great and vexing afflictions and disturbances were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Verse 6. Nation was broken pieces against nation, and city against city, for God vexed and troubled them with all sorts of adversity. Verse 7. Be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak and slack, for your work shall be rewarded. That's some verses of Scripture, right? You guys catch any of that? Some stuff I want you to see. Okay. Verse 5. I'm going to do it backwards. I want to show you some things backwards. Verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to him who went in or went out or came in. In those times there was no peace to the personal person, individual person, going out of his house and coming back in. He had no peace. This person leaving home, coming home was no peace. There was no peace anywhere. Do you ever know anybody that can't get along with anybody, and it's everybody else's fault? Do you know anybody like that? It's not my fault I can't get along with any. You guys are all crazy. I'm the only sane one here. You know anybody like that? If you can't get along with anybody else, can't get along with yourself. Wow. I know people like that. These people, verse 5, no peace. Go to the grocery store. Just walk around a little bit. See anybody that's got like that? Praise the Lord! Woo! You be! That's what I see. It's like, dude, what are you guys doing? Really? I mean, they're beat up. People are just beat up. And if you see, they go, really? I took a shower. Huh? No peace. But great and vexing afflictions and disturbances were upon all the inhabitants of the country. Look at our country. Look around the world. Look at all the mess that's going on. Is this messed up? You think this world is messed up? Seems to be, doesn't it? Yeah. Verse 6. Nation was broken pieces again. Nations fighting. All this stuff going on, right? Fighting. Boy, this sounds like today, doesn't it, Matt? Yeah, well, this was written about 3,000 years ago. Really? Yeah. Nation was broken against nation, and city was against city. Everybody's fighting, right? Satan's really working now, isn't he? What's the next part of verse 6 say? For God vexed and troubled them with all sorts of adversity. Now, shouldn't that say Satan did that? Shouldn't that be Satan really got going? What's it say? It says God. God vexed them. God caused them trouble. God caused them calamity. God! If your problem is starting with God, then your answer is with God, right? Huh? I think we give Satan way too much credit. God says, you know what? You turn your back on me, you go away from me. Romans chapter 1, we ain't going to look at today. You read Romans chapter 1, it says, He just turns them over. He turns them over to their own stupidity. They turn their back on me. It's like a dog on a leash, right? You keep the dog where you want it to be, right? And if a dog wants to go and you let it go, what happens to the dog? It just goes and does its thing, right? But God said in Romans chapter 1, He says, you know, I just turn them loose. I just turn them loose. When God does that, there are things that are going to happen, right? Medication. I mean, you guys have all seen these commercials on TV, you know. If you have this problem, if you take this medication, you'll feel, I feel really good now. Feel good, right? Feel good, right? And they say, oh, by the way, it could cause stroke, heart attack, but you're going to die. If you take this med, you're going to die. There are consequences to God releasing the leash. When He lets go of the leash, there's consequences. And God says, how am I going to get you back? How are you going to come? What are you going to do? What's it going to take for you to turn around and come and say, we need you, God. We need you desperately. Huh? I heard a story, and I thought of Tim Gray. He's a man's man. I like Tim. He's an intelligent, good-looking guy. Okay? And the story goes that when him and Jenny were dating, that there was this roller coaster. I don't think Jenny was quite seeing how good looking a guy he was, you know what I'm saying? I don't think she was quite feeling it just yet. So he goes and he buys a couple tickets to the roller coaster. Okay? You know, this roller coaster is a whoo, you know, ah! You know, one of these. Well, as the roller coaster goes, the other end of this turn, it goes, you think you're going to go, ah! That way. You know how that is, roller coasters, you know? You leave your stomach over there, you go to the left, right? So as this thing goes on, Jenny starts moving a little closer, and when the roller coaster's done, you can't tell if there's one or two people in that car. Huh? Because it's scary, right? Tim's a smart man. Think God does the same thing to us? Do you think God does the same thing to us? He says, when you're out there, I'll put you out there a little farther. You're going to come looking for me, right? Put you out there a little farther. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go to verse 3. Now, for a long time, Israel was without the true God. Israel was still meeting. They were still having worship. They were still having outreaches. They were still having sacrifices. They were still doing everything religious. They still had church. Okay? Everybody was going to church but God. What? Everybody was going to church but God. Wow. They were still doing all the stuff. They were still feeding the hungry. They were still doing all the stuff without the true God. Wow. What's it say after that? Without a teaching priest. My. God's word is true, right? God's word is truth, and let every man be a liar, right? That's one thing that I really appreciate. Matt Wiseman and Les, these guys bring the Bible to you. They don't sugarcoat it. They're not making it sound any better than it is. They're reading it and they're saying, you know what? That's kind of what it says, guys. You know what I mean? If you've got a problem with one of those two guys, you got a problem with God. Because they're preaching the word. This priest was obviously talking. Maybe he was saying, you know, I don't... You ever talk to somebody in the Bible and say, they ask you a question. What do you think of that verse? And then they say, well, I think it means this. I don't really care what you think it means. And that's not a good thing to say, but I don't care. What I care about is what the word says. If it says it, that's what it says, right? It doesn't matter if you want to sugarcoat it and make it sound better because you don't want to do it. I'm just saying, if it says it, how is this? So they didn't have a teaching priest. And what else did? They didn't have a law. They didn't have a law. They didn't have any rules. They were just doing what everybody wanted to do, right? Huh? Making decisions? Yeah, I think I'll do that. Eh. Judges, if you read the book of Judges, it says in it, and every man did what he thought was right in his own eyes. That's when they think this was written. Probably what this is talking about. Wow, so look at this. Three things. No true God, no teaching priest, no law. Wow. Pretty heavy stuff, right? Let's look at something. Verse 4. What's verse 4 say? But when they in their trouble turn to the Lord. The Lord here is Jehovah. Remember we talked about Jehovah? And the God of Israel. Elohim? Elohim, Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God, Elohim, created. Elohim is the power of God. Who doesn't want God's power? Anybody? I mean, you want, when you pray, you want God's power, right? You want Him to show up. You want Him to be strong. You want Him to be there, right? You want Him to get it, right? That's what we pray, right? We're praying for the power of God, right? Everybody wants the power of God. Yeah, that's what we want, the power of God, right? Yeah. What's he say? God of Israel. Elohim. It says, Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah is the relational God. Jehovah is the relational God. It's the God that pursued you. It's the God that sent His precious Son to die on the cross for your sins so you and I could spend eternity with Him in heaven. The relational God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to ride your roller coaster. He wants you to get close to him because it's so bad. I don't know what's going to happen. It is bad. He's that God. He's the relational God. He wants you close. I like the way that puts it up because we all want the power of God. We all don't want the relation, do we? You mean I got to get up early and study? You mean I got to get up early and have devotion? You mean I got to lose sleep? Not getting that much, God. God wants your relationship. We want the power of God. But we don't always want His relationship. Because His relationship is the only thing that really costs you anything. You know that? His Son died on the cross and paid for your sins. It didn't cost you a dime. He paid the price for you, bought you back from sin, death, hell, and the grave. He paid it all for you. It didn't cost you a dime. Not one dime. All He asked is a little bit of time. 24 hours in a day, right? Last time I checked, it's 24 hours in a day, right? Do you spend... How much time do you spend on your phone? You can't look at that, Matt. That's not even a good question to ask me. Don't even ask me that question. I don't want to know that question. Right? How much time do you spend on your phone? How much do we spend on the phone? I have a work phone. I get probably 500 phone calls a day. It's crazy. I think, me. All the time going, answer questions, gone, broke, blah, blah, blah. How much time do you spend eating? Yeah, we're gonna take a little time on this, right? I wanna eat. What are we gonna have for supper? You know, it's probably gonna take me an hour to make that, but it sounds really good. You can't love what you don't know, right? You can't love what you don't know, right? I'm just saying. You think, boy, that sounds pretty good. Maybe steak. Maybe some applesauce pie. I heard about some applesauce pie somebody makes. Sounds pretty interesting, huh? Maybe some hot apple pie right out of the oven with like a big old scoop of vanilla ice cream on it. You can't love what you don't know. I'm just saying. So when we look at all this stuff, how much time do I spend? I got to get at least 8 hours of sleep a night, Matt. I have to get 8 hours or I'm a mess the next day. Yeah, welcome to my world. For truth, you can get less than 8 hours of sleep and still function perfectly well. Well, as good as one person can function. I'm just saying, you don't have to have 8 hours of sleep. So when you start breaking down your day, where does God fit into that thing? When do you take time just to talk to Him? When do you want to spend a little time with the relational God? When do you want to spend a little time with the relational God so you can maybe tap into His power? Wow. You know, several times people say, hey, you prayed for me and it really, really helped. No, it didn't. God did it. It wasn't me. It was not me. It was Him. He gets every ounce and drop of the glory. It's Him. He decided to step into your life and do something. God did. Sometimes we have to get on earth. We have to get down on our knees. We got to ask for Him to bring heaven to us. We want His power. God, we want to see Your power. We want to know You. You can't love what you don't know. So does sovereignty of God make any sense at all? He's super duper. He's above all. He created all. He did it all. Because He wanted you to enjoy it. He wanted you to say, you know what? God, that was an awesome sunset tonight. Awesome. That was incredible. That's a pretty awesome moon you put up there, Lord. Ooh, shooting star! Woo-hoo! Nice thing about working long hours, morning and night, you get to see shooting stars. That is so cool. Nobody else is out. It's so cool. It's God. It's just God. And when I see that stuff, it impresses me so much. He is God. He is not a weak, anemic God. He's powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-strong. He's it. He's the man. Sometimes I think God, we think of God more like a flickering candle than a burning sun. He created that thing. He just, and it was there. And it wasn't one, it's millions of them. You know, that all is right there in his hand. They can't see far enough. They can't get a telescope big. They can't see the end of it. And God just said, let there be light. It was there. That's the God we question. Well, I don't think you know what you're doing. That was stupid, God. Why did you do that? Could you imagine? He's got a little bit of sense of humor, like, yeah, just wait a little bit. You'll figure it out. I don't know. I pray that the sovereignty of God, we don't question God. We question Him. He don't mind your question. Just don't question Him. He is in control. We have to get in our mind that He is in control. His word is true. He says who He says He is. He is Jehovah Elohim. He's a relational, all-powerful God. And that's what He is. And there's nothing that He cannot do. There is nothing that He cannot do. Well, the Lord told me to shut up, so I will. If the praise band wants to come forward, got a song. You know, sometimes we think we're weak and limited, and we are. As human beings, we are so weak and limited and defenseless, but we belong to an unimaginable, non-restricted, awesome, super God.